Hello and welcome to Geeky Remy at a rather breezy custard factory today.
The wind picked up right as you said that.
So the cameras just went, ah, so I'm hoping we can fix that in post. I'm your host, Mr. Ryan Parrish. Joining me today, Mr. Keith Linville.
Hi.
Mr. Lee Price.
Hello.
And Mr. Sam Edwards.
Hello.
Executive producer Viv and Matt aren't here today, but they were a massive help yesterday because we were at Hyvis Comic Con in King's Heath. You guys ran around, did a lot of filming.
I wasn't there.
Lee wasn't there. I babysat the two films we were screening as part of a Birmingham Anime Film Festival, which was Mariah and Promare. Both went down really well. I think Promare, if you've never seen it before, is the most insane, crazy, over-the-top movie of all time. I think it was your first experience, wasn't it? So
first time I'd seen it, yeah. It was stunning animation, but yeah, a bit nuts. In a great way.
How about yourself, Keith? Did you enjoy the little bits that you saw?
Yeah, Promare just seemed to escalate constantly as it went on. It was like, how much more outrageous can we get? Yeah, hold my beer.
You haven't seen a robot the size of a planet yet.
No.
But yeah, so that was good fun. And you guys got to meet a load of comic creators, which we'll be talking about shortly. So any particular guests that you enjoyed speaking to?
Probably Al Ewing, as usual. Al's really cool. So he's doing a lot of good stuff over at Marvel at the moment as well. And he's just started doing one of the Absolute books for DC, which is kind of cool. It's always good to speak to that.
Yeah, and there's the legendary John Wagner as well, creator of Judge Dredd, and Charlie Adlard, Walking Dead, and quite a few really nice, good comic creators. A few Beano people as well, Laura Howell, and Emerson, Kevin S. Sutherland. Sonny Leong was there doing manga classes, I believe. We had Cosmic Rays, which is Charlie's band, alongside, is it Phil still in the band? I can't remember.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Phil Winslade, another legendary director. Some really good independent comic creators as well. Scratch Comics, Time Bomb Comics. What are we calling him now?
The Stan Lee of Birmingham, Mr. Steve Tanner.
Even though he's not in Birmingham, he's Bearwood. It's close enough.
Well, you know, we can let Birmingham have something. It's fine.
True.
You know.
So we're going to go into a few interviews, a bit of walk around today, and we shall be back with you shortly.
Welcome John Wagner, legendary co-creator of Judge Dredd. This is the first Hyvis Comic Con. How has it gone for you?
Oh, fine. I had a bit of trouble finding my way here, but apart from that, it's been all right. It's all the streets closed off, and the sat-nav kept directing me up them. So, but anyway, I'm here.
What's the reception been like here? Have people been talking to you about Judge Dredd or Rock of the Red?
Well, pretty much anything that I've done. You know, I've had a lot of Judge Dredd stuff, some Bogeyman stuff, sold a lot of posters, and sold a rock. So just a bit of everything.
Has there been more interest in Rock now it's being reprinted in the magazine?
No. Not enough, not nearly enough. I mean, it's such a good story. I'd like everyone to have it and own it. I'd like Disney or Pixar to film it.
What's coming up next for you in 2000 AD and other comics?
Well, I've got the new Rock Part 3 coming up in the magazine. And there's a six-part Dredd with the Batman artist Mike Perkins, which will appear in 2000 AD sometime during the year. So that's pretty much it. Plus, on my website, I'm doing my memoirs, johnwagner.co.uk. You'll find my life in comics in it.
That's likely to be quite the story.
Well, when it's finished, if I ever get it finished.
Hello, I'm Tatvision here at Hyvis Comic Con. And I've been doing cardboard superhero masks today. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of pain, a lot of happiness, a lot of tears. It's been a magical day.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Al Ewing, reporting for the Geeky Brummy. I'm here at High Viz Comics Festival. It's going well so far. I've really enjoyed like the kind of, we're in a nice space here. I've really enjoyed like people kind of coming in, chatting, shooting the breeze. What little breeze there is in this muggy weather. I'll probably head around and see the other venues later. But so far, and the area, if you're ever in Birmingham, highly recommend coming down to King's Heath, checking it out. It's a lovely area. It's a beautiful little street. Great place full of some great bars and restaurants. And yeah, very happy to be here. I'll be back next year.
Are there any books coming up that people should be on the lookout for, Al?
There's the 2008 Sci-Fi Special, has my first Dread story in a little while. It's a one-off that sees Judge Dread go back to a location we haven't seen in a while and fight an old enemy who we haven't seen in a long time. So there's that. Aside from that, it's all of the... Oh, there's the new... my Thor run is entering Act 2. The Immortal Thor is going away with issue 25 and will be replaced with a new Thor comic that will be a big change for the Thunder God. Given that he's dying at the end of the Immortal Thor, you know, you'd expect that. If you're following that story, keep following. If you want to jump on board, it's a good place to jump on board. And then, yeah, there's all new Venom. And, of course, Absolute Green Lantern, which is... the mystery is continuing to unfold.
Hi, I'm Casper Wingard, a comic book artist on titles such as The Power Fantasy, Homesick Pilots, and All Against All. I'm currently here at High Viz Fest in Birmingham. And other than the swampy weather, it's been absolutely fantastic. Really enjoyed myself. So currently working on The Power Fantasy with Kieran Gillen at Image Comics. It's nominated for Best New Series in the Eisners this July, and couldn't be happier with it. And you can check me out at Casper Wingard on Instagram.
Hello there, I'm Christian Ward. It's lovely to be back in Birmingham. I actually went to Bourneville at Art College, so it's lovely to return to the same sort of area. I'm having a lovely time here at the High Viz Festival. You can pick up my next book, which will be Event Horizon, which will be out in August, or the collection of my my Two-Face book, which will be out at the end of September.
Hi, I'm Sprite. I'm here painting along with other artists, including Title, Ginger Dan. He's over here. Sokay, Snub, and Bunny. We're doing a collaborative wall all with 2080 characters. I'm doing Halo Jones over here, and then we've got Slade, Hammerstein. I'm not sure what's your dude over here, Jack, Dan, who? Whistler, Mongrel, and we're gonna have a Judge Dredd here as well. I've come all the way from Brighton with Snub. Snub's been painting 2000 AD characters since he was a kid, so it was a great opportunity to come up and paint his favourite character, Mongrel, the size of a building, so yeah. And I've taken on Halo Jones because I just need a bit of girl in here, get some girl in here just to make it a bit more feminine, you know. And yeah, I'm really happy to be here. It's a great event and really well organised. Yeah, it's been wonderful. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Liz Spott. I've been doing graffiti for 15 years around Birmingham, worldwide really. I'm so proud to be a part of High Viz Comic Con this year. Long ago, they gave me my first ever opportunity to kind of introduce my street art to Birmingham. So I'm always proud to help out with High Viz in any way I can. Today, I'm selling my t-shirts, my paintings, my prints, and my sticker packs. It's all robot themed. So, my work, I sell from my bigcartel.com, Lispot, Big Cartel. And I also have an Instagram, which is at Lispot, LISKBOT.
Good afternoon. My name is Noel K. Hannon. I'm the writer. I'm a writer and publisher of Rawhead Books. Here we are at High Viz Comic Con. Why did I come here today? Well, I live like 2 minutes up the road, so having a Comic Con on your doorsteps, very nice. Usually we have to travel to the other end of the country, but it was great. Ollie's done a great job pulling this together. Absolutely fantastic event. What have we got here today? Well, Rawhead is my publishing company, self-publishing. We do Unit 666, which is a World War II weird war story. Did that as a Kickstarter. We've got Galactic Geographic, a bit rude, Galactic Geographic uncovered, adults only. Did that as a Kickstarter. Lots of the other things that you see here are Amazon, Kindle Direct Prints. We use sort of print-on-demand services. So we've got the Zombie series, Things to Do in Derby When You're Dead. We've got Air Warriors. The Skunk Works series basically collects all the short strips and short prose stories from the last sort of 35 years that I've been doing this. And then our kind of big one at the moment is Chuffing Billy here. We can see his 3D model and his little Lego minifigure down there as well. And he's our kind of most sort of popular character here at the moment. And you can find a lot of these books on Amazon or find me anywhere online, all over the place, if you can see that. And you can find me on Instagram, Facebook. There's only one Noel K. Hannon.
Hi, I'm Shane from Scratch Comics. I've had an absolutely brilliant show today. It's been a real steady flow of people all day, and I've actually managed to sell lots of these beautiful books. We've got some new books out that haven't seen a show before, including the new Hedrick Collected Edition. We've got some Dinosaurs versus Cowboys, Hedrick Hardback Edition, and a few prints as well. But it's been absolutely fantastic. Seen lots of new faces, people I've not seen before, buying comics, which is great. There's an art market next door, which is also great because they've come in as well. And I've walked down to the library, met some people there. It's been a really good show. Well done, Ollie. Well done, Kings Heath.
Hi, my name's Sam Gardner Jr. and I'm the writer and creator of Capital P. We have just released, we've done book two and we're working on book three. Essentially, it's about what happens. So book one is actually a two-in-one. So you've got like the comic within the comic. And the idea is that this guy here, Capital P, the patroller, he becomes inspired to become one of those sort of real-life superheroes reading the exploits of this guy. But what we deal with and what we'd like to dig into is what happens when you take that kind of four-coloured traditional American morality, American comic book morality, and apply it to the real world. What happens when that morality goes crashing into the American legal system and all of its complexities? And how far would this chap, as a vigilante, so somebody who really does work outside the law, how far would he go to take the law into his own hands to defend those beliefs, essentially? We're at High Viz. It's an incredible atmosphere. There's just such a buzz kind of going on. So many smiles, so many comic enthusiasts. I've had an amazing time. Despite the heat, it's been very hot, but I think everybody's been smiling through it. If you'd like to find out more about Capital P and Capeverse and what we do, we've got social media, so we're at Capital P Comic or at Capeverse Comics. We've also got capeversecomics.com, which is sort of a hub where you can find all our socials from there.
Hi there, this is Steve. I'm with Time Bomb Comics. I'm here at the Hi-Viz Comic Con. Time Bomb is a Birmingham-based publisher. We've been going since 2007, and we publish a lot of one-shots and graphic novels. But we also do the Quantum Anthology comic, which you can find in newsagents and W.H. Smith's. And I must say, Hi-Viz Comic Con has been a great show. Full credit to Ollie McNamee, who's organised it. It's a really nicely put together show. There's lots of things going on. The people that we've met today have been really friendly, really interesting. And it's really a celebration of comics, which is what a Comic-Con should always be about. So, hats off to Ollie and his team for putting together a really brilliant event. Hopefully, they'll be back next year. And hopefully, we'll be back with it next year as well.
Well, hello, and thank you for having me at High Viz. I've had a lovely day. This is being recorded at the end of the day. There you go, there's trade secrets you didn't need. Hi, I'm Kev F., the guy who's worked for the Beano, worked for Marvel, and now Shakespeare works for me. I turned Shakespeare into graphic novels for kids, and my most popular, and the one that's almost sold out today, Richard III, for fans of Dogman and Bunny versus Monkey. I hope you'll have me back next year.
hope you enjoyed that. It is time for our regular round of stuff that's been going on in or outside Birmingham and the Midlands area, which is our one geek thing. So what's the one geeky thing we've been up to in the last few months or weeks since we did the recording, and what we want to recommend to our audience. So kick us off, Keith.
I've not long come back from a trip to Rye, which is an ancient town which has lots of kind of historical bits and pieces in it, lots of historical buildings, castles, all the rest of it. But as a geeky Brummie on tour, what I enjoyed most was Ashby's 100, mm-hmm. which is an art gallery kind of in the centre of town, which has taken over what used to be the purveyor of fine meats building. It still has the sign up outside, mm-hmm. And it's number 100 on the street. Hence the name Ashby's 100. But what it contains is a load of graffiti art, prints, original artwork, lots of great stuff. So while I was there, I was totally taken by the work of an artist called James Duffy. So I picked up a original Oscar the Grouch A4 sized piece of art, which is very nice. Got to find a room to put it in. But they've also got other stuff in there, so other pop car art characters, Danger Mouse, Hong Kong Fooey, Batfink, tons of stuff. And there was another artist's work that they were exhibiting, which I'll just put the details on screen, who had done a large Batman and Robin art, but Robin was actually the bird, so part of his thing is like doing bird related bits and pieces. So it was incredible to find that in like this weird kind of like twinkie town, kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, next to all of the kind of highbrow shops, there was this beautiful art gallery. There were a lot of other art galleries in Rye as well, which are well worth visiting with different bits and pieces.
So where is Rye from Birmingham?
It's past London, so it's down
southeast.
Yeah, I think it's got a name, that area, but I don't know, past... Once you get past the M25, feel like I'm like, it's not Devon, it's not Cornwall, it's the other bit. But they've got a beach, they've got Rye Harbour, which is nice, a beautiful shed, black and red roofed shed, which is quite nice because we didn't have the opportunity to get across to Dungeness and over to where Derek Jarman's little house is, which would have been quite nice. But you could see Dungeness Power Station from where we were, which was cool. You know?
Graffiti art seems to be having a bit of a resurgence in popular culture at the moment, I've noticed.
Yeah.
As we just had, which is probably finished by the time the show goes out, but a big graffiti exhibition in Birmingham. Looking back in the old 70s, 80s, New York subway train artwork.
Yeah, it's just become an acceptable form of art now. There are a lot of big collectors, big name people who are collecting graffiti art. And obviously Banksy legitimizes it in a way when he can sell his work for millions of pounds. So it's just another art form, and I really dig it. And it kind of like, you know, there's a lot of really nice work off there. We were in Hives Comic Con yesterday, so Blissbot was there, and like the reception for people seeing that as prints and art rather than just on a wall, being able to take a piece home with them as well, was cool.
And there's a beautiful wall that they're doing around the back of Institute Road, I think, opposite the Iceland.
Yeah.
There's quite a few artists, I think Snub23, Ginger Dan.
Yeah.
A few people we've interviewed, so that'll be in the video that you've just watched.
Yeah, a whole bunch of kind of 2000 AD related characters, which is quite nice having all the guys from 2000 AD there yesterday as well.
So yeah, nice. A bit of love for good old ABC Warriors. Don't get enough storylines nowadays. I think everybody just remembers them from the Sly Stallone movie, unfortunately.
Yeah, only the Hammerstein one. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's cool. But yeah, so it was good. I was quite surprised to find it. I looked at the building directly on the opposite side of the road the day before, didn't see it, and then was wandering around late at night when all of the other visitors had gone to bed, and was like, what's this place? How have I not seen it? And so luckily they opened the next day, and I was able to get in and get some work. It was good. So yeah, so if you're in Rye, check it out. I'll do a piece on the Instagram as well, so you can see a little bit more.
Awesome, thank you. Lee, how about yourself?
Main thing that I have been up to is it's outside, not just Birmingham, but also the UK, because I played the most French game this year, which is Clair Obscur Expedition 33.
Baguette.
Yes. the only game where they announced an English cast reveal perfectly normally and then announced the French cast reveal by changing everyone's costume to the most stereotypical French outfits they possibly had in the game. Just the striped shirts, the berets, a baguette just on their back.
So this is an ex-Ubisoft development team. It's only a small team. It was about 10, I think.
So the founder of the studio, whose name escapes me, I know his first name is Guillaume, but yeah, he's ex-Ubisoft, and he had the idea for the game and knew that Ubisoft were never going to commission it, so he was just like, I'm going to use my generational wealth to found a new studio and make this game. And a lot of this, it's a 30-person core team, but they have used a lot of outsourcing. I feel it is important to bring that, because but a lot of those people, like one of the lead writers on the game, it was like her first project. Originally, she was brought on as a potential actor in the game, but ended up writing the script instead. And then the composer was someone who was just found on SoundCloud, which is impressive considering like the music. The music in that is so good. In fact, so much of that game is really, really good. It's one of those few games where I'm like, each aspect of it, I'm recognizing the artistry of it in a different way. It's like the voice acting is brilliant, the gameplay design is brilliant, the visuals are great because it's all very sort of inspired by 19th century French paintings and all this sort of stuff. But in terms of like gameplay design, they have basically taken like all the best bits from like JRPGs of the last like 20-30 years and just combined them all together.
Yeah. The best I've seen it on Twitter, Instagram, but somebody described it as a J, as in
JRPG.
RPG. Which is probably the best description possible. Yeah, I played for the opening act, I played for the bit where the ship first lands. I'll leave it at that point for not spoilers. But yeah, it's kind of quite harrowing to start off the game, pretty much.
Yeah, because obviously the premise of the game is quite a difficult thing, really, because it's you know, there's a woman known as the Paintress who every year paints a number on a monolith, and everyone who's that age or older just disintegrates like in like. Whichever one of the Marvel films had everyone disintegrated.
They're like Infinity War with the snap.
There we go. Yeah.
But it means that the people are getting younger and younger, but there's less and less people to go on this expedition to stop.
So they're going on this expedition to try and stop the Paintress from doing what she's doing. But this is like they've been doing several over the years. Like, the numbers, it's hard to tell how many there have been because the numbers go backwards. They started on zero, and then they had like 66, and it just went back from that. And this is obviously Expedition 33. And yeah, so it's basically just a group of people who are just trying to like travel across this continent that's just full of weird creatures and get to the Paintress. And just, it's such a good story in the sense that like they set up the world, but they give you no exposition. So it's just, there's a mystery at the heart of everything. So as you're playing, you're figuring things out as you go, and often as the characters are figuring things out as well. And like I said, the gameplay design is just some of the best RPG stuff. It's like, let's take bits from Persona, bits from like Legend of Dragoon, and let's take, you know, bits and pieces from like Final Fantasy and just kind of combine it all together. And it's probably one of the most interesting sort of JRPG systems I've played. It's got like sort of a parry and dodge system, which people like to say comes from Dark Souls, but it comes from Super Mario RPG.
It doesn't come from Dark Souls because you're not just constantly rolling around in a circle around the enemy. That's why everybody does it. But yeah, Super Mario RPG had a brilliant parry system, I remember, because if you timed the parry perfectly, you did more damage than a normal attack. Yeah. So basically it was better to kind of get into sync with it.
But it's also just such an efficient system in like how the menus operate, because it's like everything's assigned to a button, and it's like a really sort of, it's kind of like someone, they played Persona 5, went, this menu design is great, what if we took it even further? And also just the way that all the different classes of each character is a different class, and like they all feel different, and the way you're encouraged to use everyone's abilities properly, because everything kind of interweaves in different ways.
So, don't you have an alpha squad, and like if they snuff it, yes, then you can bring in a second squad to so what it try is, and finish the boss off.
Yeah, what it is, you've got, if you're, because you've got like a party of three, but you've got like a total of six characters, you kind of go, like if your frontline party dies, the backline party come in immediately as a replacement. It's a really good game. I finished the whole thing. It was just a great experience. And where that plot goes is wild. And it's one of probably the most original games to release this year as well.
So it gets replay value or?
I think like there's a lot to do. I have not done like a lot of the stuff in Act 3. Like I did some of the sort of main sort of story side stuff, but like there's a lot of sort of optional bosses and stuff that's definitely worth going back and exploring. So, but yeah, it's been like one of those games that even at this point in the year, people are like, this is probably game of the year. But
yeah,
obviously we've still got several months to go. So maybe
just... think that's because the main character looks a little bit like Robert Pattinson.
I do find that very funny that it's Robert Pattinson when like he isn't played by Robert Pattinson. He's played by Charlie Cox, which although like, you know, there's also like a lot of great voice talent elsewhere because Andy Serkis is in it.
Yeah.
And you've got Ben Starr and Jennifer English, who are best known as like Clive from Final Fantasy 16 and Shadowheart from Baldur's Gate 3. Mm-hmm. You can definitely tell it's them because it's the same
voice.
Same voice. but yeah, everyone just knocks it out of the park with their performance as well.
And I think it's on Game Pass again, so...
Yes, I think it's on Game Pass.
So you can pick it up for free if you've got an Xbox game.
I bought the physical copy of it, and that was mostly because like I had an Amazon voucher that reduced the price to about 15 quid. So.
That's picking up. Awesome. So, yeah. Clair Obscur 33, definitely recommend if you like any kind of RPG.
Yes. But.
Awesome. Sam, how about yourself?
I've been watching a show, I'm watching it on now, which I've been meaning to watch for a while, and the second season came out recently, so I sort of took that as my excuse to get into it. But it's called Poker Face, and it's got Natasha Lyon from Orange Is the New Black and various other things. Playing a character who's got this kind of almost supernatural ability to immediately tell if someone is lying to her. She can't tell what the truth of it is, but she can just immediately know that they are either lying or they are telling the truth. And it's basically just her going around kind of solving murders in a very Columbo kind of style. So each episode starts with you kind of seeing how the murder actually happened. And then it sort of almost kind of cuts back and you sort of see how her character was kind of placed into the scenario without you having seen it the first time round. And so she's working out stuff that we already know has happened. But it's still somehow really compelling to watch her kind of figure it through. Because of the events of the first episode, she spends most of the first season kind of on the run from the law. So she can't go to the police or anything with what she knows and wouldn't be able to prove a lot of it anyway. So it's also kind of about her figuring out what to do with the information once she's got it and find a way to kind of get some comeuppance for whoever did the deed. Really, really good fun. And it's got some fantastic guest stars as well. So every episode has a completely different set of characters other than Charlie and one or two others sometimes. But first one's got Adrian Brody in, and then there's also Tim Blake Nelson, Cynthia Erivo, Lil Ray Howery, loads and loads of people. Steve Buscemi has popped up a couple of times now. It's just really good, fun, easy watch. Very funny in places. There's a great gag in one episode where the set of dominoes that leads to the guy being murdered starts with the fact that Natasha Lyonne's character, Charlie, never saw to the end of the film Okja. and thinks it's just a really sweet film about an animal. and great, a great recommendation for animal lovers. it's really good fun. Natasha Lyonne is always incredibly watchable. I heartily recommend it.
So do they play the Lady Gaga song at any point during it, or do they avoid it?
Not yet. I've still got about half of season two to go, but I haven't come across it yet.
It's more tied to the fact that she works in a casino to start with, and part of the reason that she goes on the run is that she's played few poker games, so she can tell when everybody's bluffing or whatever it is. Yeah. So it's more...
So they basically think that she's cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That sounds a really interesting concept. It sounds similar to, not similar, but echoes of Lightning, the Tim Roth series, with the micro kind of things where you could tell that when people were lying based on their facial expressions and things like that.
I mean, I just heard female Columbo when I was sold.
Yeah, that's literally what it is.
Yeah.
Does she smoke a cigar?
She vapes quite a lot in season two, and the occasional
cigarette.
Does she
wear a trench coat?
No.
Does she get reminded by anybody when she's leaving premises?
Possibly. One more thing.
Yes, actually. Yeah, no, that does happen a fair bit, actually.
There we go. That's fine. Just double check it.
A few episodes, and it's created by Rian Johnson of
Rogue One fame.
And Knives Out.
And
So it's kind of like... It's got that vibe of slightly...
I'm sold even more because I liked the...
It's a really good show.
Movies.
Yeah, it's a really good show.
They're doing a third one of those.
Coming out this Christmas on Netflix.
Excellent.
Pokerface sounds good. For myself, it was my birthday a few weeks ago. I am now the ripe old age of...
27, was that?
Yeah, 27. Yeah, always 27.
The anniversary of your 20th birthday.
Yes. But we popped down to London and went to see a play in the West End, which is on at, I completely forgot the name of the theatre, Gillian Lane Theatre, which is My Neighbour Totoro. So I think it was on 2 years ago in London, in the West End, and then went away for a year or so. We watched Spirit Away last year, which was the other play that was on. That was at the Lyceum, and now this is back. And yes, it's until March 2026. I think Joe Hisashi pretty much rewrote the score for it. A lot more music in there. Just absolutely fantastic play. A real great reinvention of My Neighbour Totoro, because you think My Neighbour Totoro is quite a short film, it's only 90 minutes. So to extend it out into a play, it needed a little bit more content, and I think they've definitely handled that quite well. The sets are absolutely stunning. I don't know how much they managed to fit that much set decoration into such a small place. And when Totoro turns up for the first time, it is an absolutely magical experience. And I'm not going to spoil it, but the puppetry is amazing. Catbus is beautiful. Acting is amazing. The music's fantastic. It's kind of as close as I think you'll get to seeing Studio Ghibli represented on the stage. So, yeah. I really, 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 really wish you could see it. I think you've already seen it, Sam. Have you?
No, I saw Spirited Away, but I'm not seeing it.
Spirited Away. Keith, have you seen it? Yeah.
No, I wanted to when it did its first run, but it just was tricky to get tickets at a good price at that time. So yeah. I'll look again. I would hope that it would tour a little bit to make it a bit easier to get.
I think they have to do that much customization to the stage to make everything work. Yeah. It's really good. I think it's won 6 Olivier Awards at the moment. So 5 stars in pretty much every single magazine. So Royal Shakespeare Theatre Company, Joe Hisashi is executive producer, Nippon TV are involved with Improbable, and was adapted by Tom Morton Smith, who also wrote Oppenheimer. So interesting combination of the two there, My Neighbour Totoro and Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Almost heading back towards Grave of the Fireflies.
Tottenheimer.
Toppenheimer. But yes, I really, really would recommend it. It's just 2 hours of absolutely magicalness. They are rather strict about videoing and photography in the screen, which I fully support, because it kind of detracts from the art. If you've got people taking photographs and leaking it online, it's worth going in completely blind and experiencing it in a kind of new clear way without having any kind of preconceptions how they do it. I do recommend it. Spirited Away was absolutely fantastic last year as well. The difference between this one and Spirited Away was fully in Japanese with subtitles on screen. This is an English adaptation, so it's English voice cast. They do have a singer who does between the English and Japanese. But yes, I would really, really recommend it. And I think we're going to wrap up in a second because
for some reason
I have summoned the storm god.
Gale. Yeah.
Totoro is on his way with his umbrella as we speak.
He's just going to hover.
Just a cat
over.
Bus just flying in front of him.
Thank you very much for joining us on Geeky Brummy this issue. I've been Ryan Parrish. You can find me at Ryan Parrish on Blue Sky, and that's about it. Sam, where can we find you online?
You can find me at SDEdwards89 on Blue Sky, Instagram, Threads, wherever, pretty much.
Lee, how about yourself?
You can find me on Bob Pepper on YouTube and on Blue Sky.
Keith?
It's Hard Luck Hotel on Blue Sky and Instagram, and Wednesdays on the Geeky Brummy channel doing the old comics roundups.
Yes, and you can find these two fine gentlemen as well. Sam on Thursdays, Lee on Fridays with our movie and game roundups. What's coming up? What's our recommendation of the week? Sam, you started adding Trader of the Week, I believe, to yours.
I have indeed, yep.
Yeah, and Lee picks some of the greatest indie games that you will never hear of in any other public outlet.
So yeah, I'm very picky, but like, if there's a good hook, it's going to be in there. So.
And Keith always picks a trade of the week as well. So if you're not into regular comic buying, some really good trades to get really good collections. Everything on geekybrummy.com. You can find us at Geeky Brummy on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, Facebook, all at Big Geeky Brummy or at geekybrummy.com. And you can get the podcast if you're watching this at any of your podcasting services of choice. Or if you're listening to the podcast and you want to see what we look like,
and why wouldn't you?
You can find us at YouTube at Geeky Brummy. Thank you very much for joining, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye.
This issue of the Geeky Brummy podcast was hosted by Ryan Parrish, with Sam Edwards, Lee Price, and Keith Bloomfield. Additional content by Matt Lovell. This issue was produced by Viv Parrish, and this was a Geeky Brummy production.